You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Winky Wednesday. Eric Crocker, Brian Peacock, and our guest, Mr. Nick Winkler, joining us on this Wednesday edition. Dip into the mailbag. We've got some questions for Nick about quarterbacks. Who would you take? This is a question that's been going around this offseason, and it's topical with all the Eli Manning and Derek Carr talk Croc and I have gotten into this week about where Garoppolo ranks amongst some other quarterbacks in the league. Jason Verrett trying to recruit a veteran defensive end that is currently a free agent onto the San Francisco 49ers, and we'll see where those questions take us. I've got a comp for rookie running back Trey Sermon as well. I'm going to run that one by you guys at BD Peacock, at Eric _ Crocker, and at Bay Area Wink.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nicholas.
Nick, what's happening, my man? How are you?
Hey, guys.
I am about to play Wednesday evening, my first slow pitch softball game since late 2019. Croc, I think you just got done playing slow pitch softball. You're just getting into it, right? Like, it'll get you, dude. This is a sport. I mean, Wink, I've played with you a couple times, and I know you were into the slow pitch softball game for a while. I don't know if you're still playing in the Monterey area, but there was a time in San Francisco where I was playing like three or four nights a week. Like, you get recruited, you're playing on one team, then all of a sudden you're playing on another team, then someone needs to fill in, and if you play well, now you're on that team for good. And it's just one of those things. I end up playing every night of the week, and it's not that hard on the body, so you can continue to do that. And I'm actually recovering from a sprained ankle playing basketball because I was trying to get back into shape a little bit post-pandemic, all vaxxed up. We had this vaccinated crew that was starting to play some pickup hoops, landed on a guy's foot trying to pull down a rebound. I don't know why this 5'9 dude was standing underneath me after I pulled down this rebound. It's like some people just don't speak the language of certain sports, you know? So I turned my ankle, and it's like, basically, I'm at the point where I'm not in good enough shape to exercise. It's like, I'm in a bad spot, but I think slow pitch softball is going to be okay for me. Croc, how is the slow pitch softball world going for you?
Oh, man, we got crushed tonight. Like, they had to even stop the game. It's supposed to be like a running clock, 60 minutes or something like that. The score was 25-0.
Oh,
dude, they just kept hitting bombs and bombs and bombs. They have an 8 home run rule. They had to stop the whole home runs and stuff. And I mean, our fielding was terrible. Not mine, but our as a team, the fielding was terrible. I made contact. Well, one, they have this rule. The way they do it out here is you start with one ball and one strike. You start off with one ball, one strike.
Yep, that's pretty common.
So I swung, hit it, foul ball. I swung again, hit it, foul ball, and I was out. So they have a rule where if you foul ball on second, like, you know, like the bunt rule in major leagues, foul, you know, two strikes, you're out. It's like that. So I was out there. Then my next one, I hit a line drive, but it just didn't get down quick enough, and the outfielder got it. And that was it, because we couldn't get on. We couldn't hit. We had zero runs in a slow pitch softball game.
Wow, you got mercy ruled. But your defense is good. You got athleticism. You're tracking balls down okay in the outfield.
Yeah. I'm doing fine there. I mean, I'm out there looking like Kenny Lofton or something. I don't know. I mean, I'm doing my thing out there. That's my only time to shine. I even have like the shades, like the rainbow color, like shades and stuff.
Oh, the wraparounds?
I'm going all out.
All right. And the croquis? You got the croquis to keep them on your head?
No. I just kind of put
them called the croquis, right? The strap that goes around the back of your head to keep your sunglasses on? Is that what those are called?
I don't know. I might need to invest in that. I don't have that. But batting gloves? I got the batting gloves. I got the cool Franklin batting gloves. Yeah, everything is, you know me. I come out there with the swag a little bit, the drip.
Dr. Drip. I know how you roll, Croc.
You got the wristbands? You doing wristbands? I was all about the wristbands.
Oh, I got the wristbands.
You got the Dion neck band?
I got the wristbands. And it's the thick. It's the thick ones. I got the wristbands.
Yeah, you
got
to go with the big one. The small ones don't work. You got to go with the big ones and take up half your arm.
They're probably like, who is this guy out here getting no hits?
Yeah. Well, hey, Kenny Lofton used to hit a lot of foul balls, so that's a good comp for you.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
He didn't strike out a lot, though. That goes in the books as a strikeout, by the way, Croc. It's not good.
I haven't gotten to play since this pandemic, man. Now you guys are making me miss it. I'm going to call up my team.
We had a couple practices. Not great, but it's like red.
I'm in the South. There was never really a pandemic down here.
Different worlds for sure.
Croc, I want to get to this question really quick on Twitter since we're talking about comps. So while we're talking about this, Nick, who's your comp? Who's your baseball, softball comp? I don't know who my comp would be. That's a good question.
That's a good one. But I'm more of an inside out hitter. I'd say Evan Longoria probably.
Oh, okay. A little Longo.
Everything goes opposite field, right center. That's where my power alley is. But I was also an outfielder. So then, it's like, I'm quick. So I don't know. That's a good one. I have to figure somebody out. Maybe Lamont Wade Jr., current Giant.
He just got sent down, so that's not good.
I know, but he had a cannon. That was one of my things out there,
All right, that's good. Let's think about that. But my comp for, and this was a question from, let me find the tweet. This is from Individualist on Twitter, who was listening to our pod yesterday about Trey Sermon, Croc. And he said, who's your NFL comp for him? If it's in the episode, I'll check it out. We did not have a comparison of a current or former NFL player for Trey Sermon in that episode, but I thought about it, and I thought about one. I'm going to run this by you guys, and he actually was a Shanahan running back in the day, Arian Foster. Not big top-end speed. He has some size, about 6 feet, 6'1", 220-ish. Mm. Really good feet, really good cutbacks. In that Kubiak running game in Houston, he actually played his so, and Shanahan might have actually had a hand in drafting him, because I believe Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for Foster's rookie year, but Foster was like an undrafted free agent. So I actually, he didn't have a hand to draft him because he didn't draft him, but he didn't play much that rookie year because he was undrafted, then blew up, I think, his second, third year in the NFL. But it was hard for me to find a real good comparison, a bigger back with really good feet. And I thought, you know what? Arian Foster's the guy. And he was prolific in that same style offense.
We really are peak Croc. I think we're kind of syncing together now, because you probably didn't see it, and I didn't think about it before I responded, but I actually quote tweeted it. I said, originally Kareem Hunt was kind of my comp for him, just to get their style of play and everything. But I was like, I've kind of come around on Arian Foster. Like, what are the odds?
Wow.
What are the odds?
I did not see that. And what's funny is I thought about current players, and that's where I started, and Kareem Hunt was one of the names I thought of. But Kareem Hunt's a little bit more of a shorter player, got thrown. And that's one of the negatives we didn't really talk about, because you talked about his willingness to pass protect.
Mm-hmm.
But he only caught like 12 passes last year, and maybe 8 the year before, or something like that.
He didn't catch a lot of passes. I think a lot of people might knock him for that and say that he's not a good pass catcher. But when I was watching him, he had soft, natural hands. It looked like it was like one fluid motion with catching the ball, turning and running. I thought he was good after. So I don't know if it's so much that he can't catch passes, or if they just didn't utilize it because they were so busy throwing the ball downfield with Justin Fields.
The comp I had, I was thinking maybe a little bit Devontae Freeman, just because of the feet and not really big time long speed, but I already used the Devontae Freeman for Jamichael Hasty. That's who I thought he reminded me of, maybe a lesser version of Devontae Freeman last year. So clearly that's something that Kyle Shanahan really likes in his running backs, is, that feet and your short area quicks and maneuvering in the hole, hitting that cutback lane, which is obviously a big part of that outside zone scheme.
You guys are getting me excited over here talking about possible Arian Foster coming to the team. Like, you're talking about a guy who destroyed the NFL. Like, when he was at his peak, you did not stop Arian Foster. So as the fan on the show right now, you guys are getting me all pumped up.
The voice of the fan, Nick Winkler, as he is known here on this podcast. Yeah, and it's tough because every time you bring up a comparison, you're talking about a player who's never played in the NFL. And you always bring up these crazy lofty comparisons too, but just stylistically, sure. I don't want to put that on him necessarily.
Hey, don't come at me with, he reminds me of Kerryon Johnson, because I'd be like, oh, awesome. Come on. Nobody wants to hear that.
Actually, Elijah Mitchell has some Kerryon Johnson. Actually, Elijah Mitchell, what's funny is another Shanahan back. If I had a comp for Elijah Mitchell, and we haven't talked about Elijah Mitchell much yet, but we're going to get to that later this week, maybe on tomorrow's pod, and do the scouting report on him. Actually, it's Tevin Coleman. A little bit more upright, a little bit more linear, straight line-ish. It's because Elijah Mitchell has more top-end speed, maybe not quite the 4.3 that he ran in his pro day. He doesn't look like that on tape. He's a lot lighter in his pro day. More top-end speed, but less short area, and that's kind of what Tevin Coleman was. You like that, Croc?
I really like the Arian Foster thing, because Arian Foster, too, like, he was just a really like smooth mover,
yeah,
right?
Smooth.
But he had nice little short area quickness for the most part. He's not like a real like jukey guy, like maybe a Devontae Freeman who could like really just shake guys out there, shoes and short area. He's not that, but smooth, knew how to maneuver a little bit and just had these nice like runs, but he wasn't the fastest guy, right? He wasn't the fastest guy, but he was really creative with how he ran, and it was really a smooth style. And that reminds me a lot of how, I'm drawing the blank on this running back that we're talking
Trey
about.
Sermon,
right now.
Trey Sermon.
Yeah, too many hits to the head. Sorry, guys.
did you take a pit? Did you like you get brushed back off the plate and take one off the noggin or something?
Those slow pitch softballs, if they get you in the head, man, that's no good.
Surface area.
Yeah.
Now, you guys mentioned smooth running. I love that. I love that when you're talking about running back in the NFL. Because I know for the longest time, watching Le'Veon Bell run, like it was just so smooth. Like he would wait for the hole to open up. He would take his time and then boom, he did it. Again, not the fastest runner in the world, but it's that smooth, that ability to just wait for something to happen in front of you. Arian Foster was a genius at it as well. So if Trey Sermon's anything like either one of those guys, man, they definitely found themselves gold.
I thought a little bit about Bell as well as sort of a comp for him, but Bell takes it to another level. He's the most, he's like almost too patient. He's like, are you going to hit the hole or what?
He's like
doing,
walking.
Dude?
He's like
waiting and
kind
of hopping and bouncing. And then finally he goes, it's crazy. I think that would be frustrating for Shanahan. He wants you to kind of get it and then get downhill.
Yeah. Hit that hole.
That's not bad. Yeah. Like a bigger back that's light on their feet. Yeah. And that's what we're talking about with Trey Sermon. So I think those are good comps to kind of give fans a mental picture who haven't seen a lot of Trey Sermon. Let's talk about Jason Verrett on Twitter recruiting a current free agent defensive lineman next. I'd like to take a moment here to tell you about Bet Online, which is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And then when I say all your sports, everything. Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, playoffs. Super fun, even more fun when you've got a little bit of extra action on those games. UFC, MMA, celebrity boxing, golf, everything you could imagine betting on, they've got available. They've got lines on it at Bet Online. You've got some futures bets when it comes to NFL teams, over under win totals on your favorite team, rookie of the year, MVP, and Super Bowl champion. So before you do anything else, head over to Bet Online, your laptop, mobile device, your desktop computer. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game. Get your 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit using promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
DeWink is on fire!
Nicholas, is there anything, I want to give you a chance here. Is there anything that you're stinking on right now before we get going with any of the other news and some of these Twitter questions that we've got?
This is like the most boring time of the year right now. Like, what in the world could I be stinking on?
Well,
right?
Here's the thing. We've got big news here. We've got breaking news from the NFL concerning your San Francisco 49ers. The official NFL Twitter account said, name a defense that should add Melvin Ingram, and has a little video of defensive end who used to play for the Los Angeles and San Diego Chargers. A little highlight reel of him. You know who responded to that? The 49ers' own Jason Verrett. He said, quote, that red and gold with the dreads swinging would look good on you, Brody, at Melvin Ingram. Even tagged him. I don't know if Melvin Ingram, actually, let's find out if Melvin Ingram responded to that yet, because that could just add even more fuel to the fire. But what are your thoughts, Nick? What do you think? A little extra pass rush added to the team now that Willis is suspended, Nick Bosa coming off of an ACL. Who knows if D Ford will ever play again? A little light at defensive end with pass rushers. What do you think about Melvin Ingram?
I mean, first of all, anyone would look good in the red and gold. I mean, come on. Those are the prettiest colors in the NFL. Yep. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, I watch a lot of Hard Knocks, too. And last year it was the Rams and the Chargers. And so got to see a lot of Ingram. And, I mean, yeah, that guy, he's a beast. Like, you want somebody to be a force out there. You don't, like you said, it's kind of question mark about Bosa. Is he going to come back? Is he going to have that burst? You see videos of it. You're like, yeah, wow, small bear's ready to go, you know. But you just don't know. You don't have that insurance there. And if you could go out and you can get a guy like Melvin Ingram, you go out and you get a guy like Melvin Ingram. Like, it's with the Julio Jones thing. If you have a chance to sign Julio Jones, you sign Julio Jones. If you have a chance to sign Melvin Ingram, come on, there's no question about it. If he fits and you can get him on the salary cap, you got to get that guy.
He's sort of that D-Ford mold too. He's a shorter guy. He's only like 6'2", I think, but he's thick and he's strong and he can hold up on the defensive line, and he's not as good as his teammate Joey Bosa.
Right.
He's not as explosive as D-Ford was pre-injury, but he's put up some good seasons. Didn't have a big season last year, and it's probably why he thinks he's probably worth more than what the Chargers were willing to offer. We'll see what kind of deal Melvin Ingram gets, if he does one of those one-year deal things, and then, you know, with the better cap situation next year, tries to cash in or something like that. But Justin Houston, Melvin Ingram, Croc, I'm all about it. We talked a little bit about it earlier this week when we were talking about the suspension to Jordan Willis. I feel like they got to do something there, and it sounds like Jason Verrett's on board as well.
Yeah, so I was listening to the Mayoko podcast, and he brought up something that was very interesting. The 49ers leading sack guy right now from last season. So just a player that's on the roster that, you know, played
he's
last
active,
season.
Can play.
Right.
Yeah.
He's active. Right. 4.5 sacks.
Ugh. Oh, was it that many? I was going to guess it was 3 because I think it was like Armstead. I think 2 guys had 3 or 3.5. Right.
Yeah. But you got to remember they brought guys in. So Ebukam. Or Ekubim?
So the leading sack getter wasn't even on the 49ers last year. It was
wasn't even on the 49ers.
Wow.
So out of all their defensive linemen or defensive players, the guy currently on the roster that had the most sacks last year was Ebukam or Ekubim. Yeah, I always butcher his name.
Ebukam.
And even then, he did not have a ton of sacks. It was like 4.5 sacks.
That's not a ton.
So, yes, 49ers, if you have a chance to kind of get a guy like Ingram,
yeah,
you know, and obviously the 49ers have guys that are coming back from injuries, so that's not including a D-Ford who only played one game. That's not including Nick Bosa who played a game and a quarter. You have guys coming back that can be extremely productive, but there's still kind of a lot to bank on with not much else to kind of help. Maybe Armstead, because the year before Armstead had 10 sacks, but as of right now it's just That's not a great number. That's not very encouraging hearing anything like that.
Yeah, you mentioned Armstead, and yeah, Nick Bosa makes Armstead a lot better. So
yeah, you see Armstead with Bosa and without Bosa and without Buckner last year, because Bosa was gone and his buddy Buckner was gone too. And I go back to, and by the way, you're correct, is 4.5 sacks. So Abacom had 4.5 sacks the last 2 years with the Rams, and I think Armstead had 3.5 and led the 49ers last year, which is just abysmal. And so we saw it last year, and then we saw it but pre-Bosa, pre-D-Ford, because they both arrived in 2019, and that was with Armstead and with DeForest Buckner. And like the interior was fine, but the defense was non-functional without those defensive ends, without those edge rushers, those edge players.
Right.
And I hope the 49ers learn their lesson and aren't thinking they're just going to skate through. And I know they're putting a lot of hope and Nick Bosa, I have a good feeling he'll come back and, you know, and be the dude. But man, that's his second ACL. He's somebody who could get hurt. You have to have an edge presence there. And I know they've spent so many resources there now with D-Ford, and they have money invested. And you just can't screw around with that position. It's too important. And if you're not getting after the quarterback, and their corner situation, I like Verrett a lot, but it's not as good as the 2019 season either. So if you think this defense is going to be like 2019, it's got to come from the defensive line. That means both Nick Bosa is healthy and playing at that level, and they're getting all that extra production from the defensive tackles and Armstead and Abelcom and everybody else. And man, it's hard to project that everything's going to go that right for the 49ers defensive line right now.
Yeah, when we sit back and we could go back to our early Gold Faithful days and even just the first few years of this podcast, like I'd come on here and it was the pre-Nick Bosa days and it'd be like, oh, they can't get any pressure on the quarterbacks. Like, yeah, the secondary's not actually that bad, but when the quarterback's got 8 seconds to throw the football, like a wide receiver's going to get open. Like we went through years and years and years of not disrupting the quarterback and it was brutal. And then you get Bosa and it's like, oh, man, and then you got, you've all of a sudden got Buckner, who's like, well, not all of a sudden, Buckner's been a beast forever, but when you got to worry about Bosa, and then, you know, when that D-line is putting pressure on a quarterback, it changes the football game. It makes things so much easier for everybody else on the defense, and if they go into the season without a lot of depth there again and you get one injury, it's going to look a whole lot like it did last year or 3 years ago before we got Nick Bosa, and so yeah, if you get a guy like Ingram or anybody who's out there right now, Houston, I mean, if you get somebody that can get in there and play some significant snaps and go after the quarterback, you got to do it.
It worries me a little bit, Croc, like going back to 2018, right? Even if Javon Kinlaw takes a huge step,
yeah,
is he going to play at the level that DeForest Buckner did? Because pre-Bosa and Ford in 2019, we had Armstead, and DeForest Buckner was there, and he's putting up 12 sacks, and it was still like, that's not enough up front. You got to have that edge presence, right?
Yeah. You know, I think the 49ers might miss a guy like Kerry Hyder. You know, he had, what, like 8.5 sacks last season.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of been the forgotten man throughout this offseason. The 49ers got back a ton of players. He's one guy because maybe, you know, he started off as a reserve guy. People forget about him, right? It's like you hear about, oh, they brought back Tart. They brought back Verrett, Kawan Williams. And, oh, they signed Sosa. I don't want to butcher his name, so I'm just going to call him Sosa. But you forget about a guy like Kerry Hyder, who was the 49ers' most impactful defensive lineman. And he wasn't doing it with just pure speed, but he had a high motor and was always there making plays. So I think that's one guy that definitely 49ers right now could use. Did Seahawks pay him that much money to where the 49ers couldn't match that or couldn't figure out a way to utilize him? And maybe they're looking at it like, hey, we don't want to pay him legit starting money because we don't think he's that type of edge rusher. He was more of an effort type guy, but at the end of the day, 8.5 sacks is 8.5 sacks. And I thought, you know, when watching him, he was one that guy that continued to, you know, jump out.
So Hyder signed a nice deal for a backup, but not really starter money, especially when you consider what kind of money defensive linemen and defensive ends are getting right now. He signed a 2-year, $6.8 million contract.
Ooh, that seems so low for a guy that just got 8.5 sacks.
He was important. And yeah, the motor that he brings, and Ronald Blair too. And now he's with the Jets. And Blair was sort of the guy that Hyder was before him, before he got hurt. And it was like that guy that was, you surprised you is how good he was and his motor and would get in there and help you get pressure. So that, I mean, that defense has to get pressure. That's what the whole thing is built on. And that's one of the ways that nobody really, everyone's focused on the quarterbacks right now for good reason, but that defensive line is something to focus on because that's the engine that drives the whole thing. It's what drove the 2019 team. And if they're not getting pressure on the quarterback, the Niners season could go south pretty quickly.
Well, we better hope that Jason Verrett and Kawan Williams and Emmanuel Mosley just have career years and they can hold up for, you know, 6 seconds. Now, I think the 49ers, as long as Nick Bosa is healthy, he will be a factor.
Oh, see,
whether he ends up with 15 sacks or whether he ends up with 8 sacks, the way that he impacts games, that's going to happen regardless. So I do expect them, as long as he's healthy, and I hate that we have to say that about dang near every position, but as long as he's healthy, I think they'll be fine with their pass rush.
Right.
All pro Fred, you've got whoever it is, whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo or Trey Lance at quarterback, the most important player on the 49ers team is Nick Bosa, right? Has to be.
Here's a question. With all the talks about D'Amico Ryans being more aggressive, maybe he tries to manufacture pressure and send guys, and send a guy that you just mentioned, All-Pro Fred.
Right.
Fred Warner is a good blitzer. So maybe he sends him more, but then he's like the highest coverage guy in the graded guy in the league according to BFF. So do you lose Fred Warner's coverage ability, you know, and use him as more of a pass rusher in key situations? Like, there's got to be some give and take there. That's going to be interesting.
Definitely a storyline to watch in training camp, especially. And I think the biggest key to training camp this year will be like, let's stay healthy and let's have a healthy team going into the season.
And maybe, especially coming off of last year.
Yeah, man. Maybe have a healthy season, a healthy team in week 3 at least, right?
Yeah, it'd be nice to not lose your top defensive player there by week 3. Yeah, I'm into that.
All right, let's get to that mailbag. Winky Wednesday next. RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Convenient self-service at RockAuto.com, where you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, jumper cables, even new carpet for your classic cars, your daily driver. Get everything you need in just a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer, and best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers alike. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Starting to realize that there's no bad time to enjoy a Built Bar. It's how I started my day today. Did not have a lot of time before I had to hit record and get working. If you are low on time, you want a healthy snack, you need to replace a quick meal maybe, you can't do much better than a low sugar, low calorie, high protein, high fiber snack that tastes awesome. And to make it even tastier, I'll tell you how you can get 15% off your next box of Built Bars. Built Bars are great for the health-conscious folks out there. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar and even great for a keto diet. That peanut butter flavor, 19 grams of protein, only 180 calories and 5 grams of sugar. Cookies and cream, 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar. So go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. That's Locked 15 for 15% off your next box of Built Bars at BuiltBar.com. All right, guys, I want to get to some questions. So let's try to keep this short, but I've teased it and I want to talk about it. There was a tweet put out there by PFF. A lot of people argued about it. Croc and I have kind of been talking about it. Let's put a cap on it right now. And Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, I think there was a fourth quarterback in the mix. I don't even remember who it was right now. If there's any other quarterbacks you would want to put in that sort of a zone, as you know, they're mid-tier quarterbacks in the NFL. Who do you take there? Because I've been down on Carr, and Croc likes Carr more than me, so I put Carr third. I would go Cousins just by a hair, Garoppolo, then Carr. But to me, it's a tier where, like, who's your coach, who's your receivers, and I'll take that quarterback. You know what I mean? So like, they're not enough of a difference maker compared to those other guys in that tier that would make me take them, depending on the situation. So it's all about context. Give me the best quote coach, give me the best talent on offense, and then whichever one of those quarterbacks you choose, I think you could be okay with those guys, but you're not going to be beating teams because of your quarterback with any of those guys. That's the way I look at it.
I feel like I'm going to get roasted if I say this, but I might put Garoppolo last on that list, man, just based on the health factor. You know, you got to have your quarterback on the field. How many games has Cousins missed, right? Right. I mean, Carr's a guy too who, yeah, he missed some time last year and you got to see a little, you know, a little backup action. But to me, Carr also has been a tough guy. He's been out there a lot. Jimmy Garoppolo's missed a lot of time. I love him as my quarterback. I love when he's on the field. He led this team to a Super Bowl. But to me, health is like the most important thing when it comes to your quarterback. You need your quarterback on the field. Oh, man. I know I'm going to take a lot of heat. But I'd probably go with Cousins, number one, and then probably Carr two, Jimmy three.
Can't believe it.
You have to believe it.
I mean, I get it, though. Consistency. I looked at Carr's numbers when I was having this conversation with Croc the other day, and I was kind of blown away by how consistent. Like, Carr has been the exact same guy every single year. And I thought he had a much better year last year, but now it's the same. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's like he's like between 38 and 4,000 yards every year.
You know what you're going to get.
Yeah, you know exactly what you're going to get. It's not great. He's not going to win you a bunch of games either. That's why I'm like, if I have Carr, I'm trying to find someone better. But the Niners just had Garoppolo, and they spent a hell of a lot to get someone better.
Yeah, when I look at those guys, they're pretty much all the same thing. Mm-hmm. I would say if I had to choose one of those guys, even though I believe they're all the same guy, really, but if I had to choose one, I probably would go with Kirk Cousins because I feel like he shows the ability more consistently to make the big time throws that are like, mm-hmm, kind of like, wow, like how do you fit that in there? Or how do you throw this ball downfield like that? Like he makes those throws more so than the other guys. I do think there is an element of consistency that's missing with him throughout games that maybe you get a little bit more from Garoppolo. So there's give and take with all these guys. I think Carr, out of all the guys, is the most he has the most intangibles. I think his arm is probably the biggest I think he's the most athletic of the bunch.
I think he's the least accurate, though. The way he throws the ball, like, he misses stuff, and it's like, even dating back to, and maybe that's creeping into my head, because Davante Adams saved his ass at Fresno State multiple times. Like, Carr was bad, sailing him 20 yards over his head and just missing. It was like, what are you doing? I like Carr a little bit coming out, you know, and I have an affinity growing up in the area of some Fresno State players. But when I watched Fresno State that year in 2014, I was like, okay, Davante Adams is a dude. And Derek Carr is like, all right. But and Derek Carr's been that same guy. And so it's consistent. He's been that in the NFL too. Like, he's just, he doesn't make enough throws, even though he's got the physical ability. And it seems like he has the mindset. There's just something missing with Carr for me.
See, I think you're just a little too close to the situation, and that's why you're so hard on him.
Maybe.
Out of all the quarterbacks, Garoppolo has, I feel like, showed up more consistently in the big moments, in the big games. But he doesn't give you as much as the other guys in the sense of what they're capable of doing. Like, I talked about some of these throws that Cousins makes, but I've seen Cousins make these throws where I'm like, wow. There was one game where he was playing against the Packers. I mean, and it was bomb, and he threw this one ball. Like, one defender was sliding this way, the other guy was sliding that way, and he, like, the ball just dropped in between them for a touchdown. I was like, what the hell just happened? Like, you don't have those moments with these other guys. I think, obviously, they make plays. They're quarterbacks, and I think they're all starting quarterbacks in the NFL. But I think Cousins just gives you a different element of being able to throw the ball downfield. But then I can say, well, the 49ers kicked his butt in that divisional round. And maybe it was just, a star-studded defensive line, and they were hungry and they were fresh coming off of a bye week, and they got after him, and his run game was non-existent. I think Dalvin Cook, who I think is one of the best running backs in the league, had like 12 rushing yards for the entire game. So you know that he's dependent on the run game, but I feel like, so is Derek Carr. So is Jimmy Garoppolo. So, again, it kind of comes back to them being the same guy. If you put Jimmy Garoppolo on that Vikings team and put Cousins on the 49ers team, you probably would have got the same exact results that you got. Garoppolo would have looked like crap because the run game wasn't working and the defensive line was getting after him and he was in trouble all game. So it's really tough, but I'd say Cousins has made the best big splash throws that are like, wow, not a lot of people can make that throw. Haven't seen that so much from Garoppolo or Derek Carr as consistently.
Especially if you're picking with these three quarterbacks and it's like, you got to pick one to start a game for you. It's like, I'd love to be able to pick Jimmy, but you just don't know if he's going to finish that game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or be available when the game starts. Yeah, that's tough. Right. Yeah, the injury thing's just been bad. That's really hurt Garoppolo at multiple levels and hurt his development. And who knows, maybe he takes a step where at this time next year, we're like, hey, Garoppolo easy. And we might have said that last year at this time. Right, we might have said that after the Super Bowl, like, oh, Garoppolo won, then Cousins, then Carr.
Yeah,
and then now it's like, oh, maybe it's Carr, maybe it's Cousins, and not Garoppolo. So yeah, it just depends on the year, depends on the situation. I'm gonna go to John on via email here actually, and we got a lot of people chattering at us when we start talking about Madden this week. He says, love that you guys recently talked about the Madden covers. Eric, question for you. Do you know if you ever made it into any of the Madden games during your time in the NFL or with the Jets? If not, outside of your obvious 100 rating on uniform swag, what would be your top game attribute during your prime? Speed, play recognition, agility, acceleration, man coverage, zone coverage, etc. Bonus, do you think it's a bit crazy when guys like Marquise Goodwin make a big fuss if they disagree with their Madden ratings?
Yeah, so it is weird that they make a big fuss of it, but I get it. You know, these guys are very prideful. I think the one guy that has been kind of slighted a little bit is probably Keenan Allen. They make him like 87 speed.
Yeah,
and it's like, dude,
slow.
He wins vertically, he wins all over the field. But I think overall, so I was on the updated rosters of Madden 25, which was the game that came out in 2013. But technically, you know, it's like Madden 14, but there is no Madden 14. It's called Madden 25. I don't know why. I think it was the 25th
anniversary.
Anniversary.
Actually, you know what's crazy? That was like the last one I really played a lot too. I probably picked Eric Crocker up.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I was on the updated, but I was not good. Like, I was like 62 overall, 88 speed. Like, I had no like special traits. I just would have had to be a guy that you wanted to develop. My face didn't look anything like me. So obviously, I wasn't a guy that they were going to face scan. But yeah, that was the only one I was on.
Still pretty.
And
cool,
it was only like brief moment because once they updated again, I was gone.
Oh no! Did they get your face mask right?
They did get the face mask right. They do a really good job. Wow. I feel like with the gear and everything, they do a good job. And I have my. That's the only way to go, right there, baby.
Yeah.
Tell the folks on the podcast which face mask that was that you just showed us.
So this face mask, this is the, you can call it the Dickerson. A lot of people call it the Dickerson. So as you can see, Eric Dickerson wore this face mask. Mm-hmm. You can call it the Deion because I think most people, you know, Deion Sanders is really popular amongst most people with his swag, his drip. And that was mine. I mean, I was going to wear this helmet no matter what. I actually had to buy this helmet. That's why I'm able to still have it. My college, all they had was Revos, and I refused to wear a Revo. So I went out and spent like $250, got a helmet, got to keep it for life. I refused to wear it.
That's awesome. That's cool, though, that now you still have that. So that's totally worth it. Hell yeah.
Definitely. The helmet had the three bars in the front and then the O-ring.
Oh, the O, yeah. That's,
I was just an ox coming right at you.
Full backs and nose tackles for that one.
That's some Lorenzo O'Neal stuff.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Right. Wink, what was your best year of Madden? I told Croc I could have beaten him in 2004 Madden, and maybe that's the only year. Was there a year? Because Croc is legit. Is there a year you could have beaten
him? I'd love to play
Madden?
You sometime right because now. I think I could beat you at any Madden.
Wow. Okay. I mean, we're going to have to live stream this, dude. You don't just say that to Eric Crocker and not have to have to play, dude.
I play a lot of video games, man. What can I say? I played a lot of Madden. I played it ever since it first came out. I had a Nintendo in 1986, man. Let's go.
Listen, I'm in the actual Madden League. Like, when I leave here right now, I actually go to play my Madden League game. All right?
Oh,
so,
I love it. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, I'm faithful with Madden.
Let's do it.
I don't play any other games. I only play Madden. I would love to play Call of Duty. I would love to play 2K and all these other games. But at the end of the day, I don't really have a whole lot of time to invest into those other games. So I stick with Madden. And I'm pretty good. So, we can definitely live stream that. I always post my games to Twitch.
I'm always twitching my games. For a butt kicking, for sure. Let's do it.
When this event goes down, how do you guys pick your teams? Can you be the same team? You got like Niners on Niners? Or is there like...
I'll let him pick my team.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Nick picks both.
Always around the football at that time. Made a great catch.
Wow. Okay.
I love the confidence.
I can't wait.
It's next level.
Is there cheat code players these days? Is it like, everyone chooses the Ravens because you can't screw with Lamar Jackson or something like that?
It just depends on your gameplay, right? I mean, everybody's got their own special way of doing things and their own team and their own. And you're also going to find people out there that find a way to cheat at any game you play. So you got to always watch
the Chiefs. The Chiefs are tough. Yeah. So they have this thing, like there's this thing called X Factor. So when your player starts kind of getting hot, whatever their X Factor trait is, it starts to kick in. So Mahomes has this like thing, it's called like bazooka arm.
Oh.
So he can drop back. No matter how far he is downfield, he could be 60 yards downfield. Mahomes is going to bomb it, and he's going to outrun your entire defense. So that's tough. It's just tough because of the combination of Mahomes' arm with Tariq Hill, I'm sure it is in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That's like old school Tecmo Bowl where you just throw a 99-yard touchdown from Montana.
Just keep running back all the way to the end zone and then throw it all the way.
All right. Chiefs-Lions.
DeWitt.
Can't wait for that one. All right, we got to actually.
I like that you picked the Lions, too. That's good.
I can't wait for this. I can't wait to watch this one. This will be fun.
I'm into it.
You play every single day, Croc?
Every day. We advance every 24 hours, sometimes sooner.
That's awesome.
You got titles in this league?
I've won 2 Super Bowls, and we are in year 19.
Yeah.
I know everyone's not watching this, and this will be on YouTube at some point. Croc's building a new studio. We were vibing on his studio before we started. You got to have your banners. Banners fly forever. You got to have those Madden banners up there in the background somewhere.
I know. I got to get those. I got to finish decorating up in here. Still kind of empty a little bit, but I'm making way. I just got the keys a couple days ago. So, now I'm excited to start kind of building on to this office of mine. $500. That's when it's good to be in the South. I literally have a lobby area, a reception area, 2 full offices, and like a kind of a break room type area. $500 a month. Let's go.
That's just nonsense. Eric Crocker, always on the football. Can't even get a closet for that.
Oh yeah, California. $500 a month doesn't get you very far. All right. Fantastic stuff. Thanks, Croc. Thanks, Wink. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Apologies for not getting to a lot of your questions. We'll hit some more questions later this week with Crocker right here on Locked On 49ers.
See ya.